From the studios of Boise State Public Radio News, I'm Gemma Gaudette. This is Idaho Matters. One Idaho nonprofit is using the power of yoga and movement to help those in marginalized communities improve their mental, physical, as well as social and emotional health and well-being. Kaylin Rogers is the executive director and program developer of Upward Inertia, and she's joining us today to talk more. Kaylin, nice to have you on the program.
Thank you so much for having me.
So Kaylin, let's start by you telling us about Upward Inertia. What exactly is your nonprofit?
So Upward Inertia is based in Boise. We created a curriculum that uses introspective discussion, mindfulness, meditation, breathwork, and movement to help people better understand how to identify and navigate hard emotions, to develop coping strategies, to improve their introspection and their ability to change their habits and patterns, and to really just find, you know, balance and harmony within their life, whether that be in their mental health, their physical health, or in their relationships.
And where did the idea come for Upward Inertia?
So I am an occupational therapist and a yoga therapist, and working with patients of all different backgrounds, I constantly saw that there was just this hole when we were looking at mental health and coping skills. And it's something that is really hard to address in the medical model, right? And for so many people, access to mental health care just isn't an option, whether it's because of stigma surrounding seeking help or a lack of medical insurance or just the shortage of providers that we have in the Valley. And seeing that over and over again, I really wanted to give people tools that they could use to manage that on their own. So that's how this all started. It started out as a volunteer project, and then it really just took off and grew.
So how do you go from it being a volunteer project to setting up an actual nonprofit?
Well, I volunteered for about a year at one prison, and hearing the students tell me about how life-changing this information was for them, how it was helping everything from their relationships to their sleep patterns, it was helping manage PTSD symptoms, they were feeling better in their bodies, they were seeing less depression and anxiety. You know, I was hearing this weekly, and my class was growing so quickly. And so at that point, it just became so apparent that this needed to be more widespread and more people needed access to this. And so, you know, at that point, I took a leap and started the nonprofit, decided, you know, we had a year to figure it out, quit my job at the hospital, and everything has been history since then.
Why in your mind, Kaylin, is work like this, these types of practices, so important for people?
I think most people have no idea how much control they have over their nervous system and their mental health, because it's just not something that's commonly taught, right? It's not part of an elementary school curriculum. And so many people who are parents now never had that information. And so for me, I think we do have a ton of capacity to navigate these really challenging times in our lives, and even just less challenging times, the big emotions that come up. But most people just have never learned how. And so, you know, our breath is something that's so simple to use. When we understand how our breath and our nervous system interact, we have a ton of control over our nervous system. But if you don't know how to do that, then, you know, it's not something you're going to rely on. Same thing with mindfulness practices and meditation. If it's not something that you've been taught, if it's not something that you've practiced, you're not going to know that you have these tools right in your back pocket that can help you get through a stressful day or help you, you know, stay sober if that's something you're working on. It's just many people have never had access to this information, whether it's because of finances or just a lack of accessibility in their community. And so I think this is something, it's so useful, it's so life-changing, it's really easy once they understand how to use it to make it a part of your day-to-day life. And I just feel like the more that we can get this information out there, the more it can then trickle down. You know, if we teach somebody who has children these skills, they can teach their children. And it just continues to grow and more people have this access now.
Well, and let's talk about access, because when you talk about things like yoga, breath work, mindfulness, meditation, there are studios all over. It's highly expensive. It's incredibly expensive. So a lot of people cannot afford something like this. So was that also part of your mission? Was the accessibility aspect of this?
Yeah, so we started in the prison simply because that was the place that felt the most pertinent immediately. But our plan has always been to expand out to offer more in the community. I do think for so many people, you know, there's a lot of people living paycheck to paycheck, or even if they're not, they just don't have an extra $100, $150 a month that they can put towards yoga. And so for us, we really wanted to create as much opportunities in the community for people to participate in these types of classes as possible. And whether that means it's through donation-based classes or through scholarships, we really wanted to create these opportunities. So one of our big steps going forward is we want to be offering community classes, both for specific groups. We're looking at offering classes for people with eating disorders, addiction, and mental illness, but also just offering donation-based classes at various studios that we're partnering with around the Valley so people can get in. You know, even if it's once a month, it's better than nothing.
So you mentioned that you started this in the prison system. Talk to us a little bit about that experience. I know you mentioned how the class just kept growing at the prison.
Yeah, so I started in 2018 as a volunteer at ISCI, the Idaho State Correctional Institute. It's a medium security men's facility. And when we first started, it was honestly just, I think, serendipity. I reached out to a bunch of volunteer coordinators, and this one got back to me and was like, I've had people asking for a yoga class, let's get you in here. And so that class was, you know, the pilot, the blueprint. And the students there were so engaged and so excited. That class, I think, went from about 5 people to about 20 within the year. And from there, we started expanding out to other prisons. So I am currently offering 10 classes a week at 6 different facilities. I'm in every single prison. I'm starting at a new prison in September, but I'm going to be at every single prison in the South Idaho complex. And most people don't realize, but we have 6 prisons right outside of Boise. It's a 20-minute drive from downtown. We have 2 women's facilities and the rest are men's, and they're everything from minimum to maximum security.
So you mentioned wanting to expand and where you want to expand. And you talked about these community-based classes, but what about youth and teens? You're looking into trying to find a way to integrate all of this practice with that population as well.
Yeah, so that is our big project for 2025, 2026. We really want to begin to start providing this information early as a preventative education, you know, giving kids these tools, helping them understand their emotions and their nervous system, and giving them these practices when life is still pretty simple, right? So that by the time they get to those stressful times in their lives, those, you know, challenging teenage years and adulthood, they already have these practices. They already know how to use them. They feel comfortable with them. So we're looking at partnering with local organizations who do after school programs or the schools. Right now we're looking through a few different avenues. So if anybody hears this and wants to bring yoga to their youth population, please reach out to us. It's definitely our next big project.
And I have to say, we were lucky enough to have a school counselor at my children's school for many years who really practiced mindfulness with the kids. And I have to say that even now, as my kids have gotten older, Kaylin, I mean, there are times in particular with my youngest where we still, if he gets anxious about something, we do breath work. And I hope, does that also then kind of transfer into, you know, maybe helping with mental health issues? Because we have a mental health crisis, in particular in Idaho, with our youth.
Absolutely. So, I mean, there's a ton of research coming out that's tying mindfulness, meditation, breathing, movement to decreased levels of anxiety, depression, perceived stress, perceived quality of life. We did a pilot study in 2019 that showed significant changes in all of those metrics. So people were really reporting that their mental health, it felt better. They felt better. And I think some of that is a sense of empowerment, right? If you feel like you can handle a stressful situation, it's not going to weigh on you as heavy. But also, there is the physiological response. You know, doing yoga, doing mindfulness, meditation, it takes you out of fight or flight. It releases those endorphins. It reduces your stress response. So there really is a measurable effect that we can see when people participate in these types of activities.
And before I let you go, let's chat a little bit about this upcoming Community Wellness Festival.
Yeah, so we have it's called Thrive Community Wellness Festival, and it's going to be on September 28th at Jump. I'm so excited. It is shaping up to be an amazing, amazing event. We have 25 classes on the schedule throughout the day, everything from yoga to African dance and hip hop to a singing class and a poetry writing class and classes about herbology and functional medicine. There's going to be something for everybody. There are classes all day from 10 to 2, and then from 2 to 3:30, I'll be teaching a keynote class, which will essentially be the class that I teach in the prisons. So if you're curious about what these classes look like and why they're so powerful and so helpful, come take that class with me. It'll be an experience that you'll actually get to see hands-on firsthand why this works. And again, that's September 28th at Jump. We also have a whole bunch of vendors who are going to be talking about the practices and businesses that they have in the Treasure Valley helping people heal. And we are still looking for sponsors. So if you're hearing this and you're like, I want to be a part of that, please reach out. We would love for you to be a part of it.
Well, Caitlin, I want to thank you so much for taking time to talk with us about the work that you're doing in our community. We've been talking with Caitlin Rogers. She is the executive director and program developer of Upward Inertia. Thanks so much for listening to Idaho Matters. Boise State Public Radio and Idaho Matters are members of the NPR Network. It's an independent coalition of public media podcasters. You can find more shows in the network wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Gemma Gaudette. We'll see you tomorrow.
New from the Embedded podcast. Female athletes have always needed grit and talent. But for decades, they've also needed a certificate.
There was chit-chat about, is that really a woman?
And even now, they're still being checked and questioned. Their story is the newest series from CBC and NPR's Embedded. It's called Tested. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.